Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
707 just texted in, why wouldn't Moses Moody be playing tonight? We got to keep remembering. People just jumping into your cars and stuff.
Yep.
Moses has been downgraded to questionable with back spasms. So we don't know his status tonight. There was no injury report for the Warriors as of last night, but today there is. And so Moody is on it. We don't know, probably won't know for at least another couple hours. Might be Warriors Live by the time we get that news, but stay with us. If we hear anything, we will absolutely pass it along. But back to our call from Ricardo. It's not even just what you said, which is that Oklahoma City is not fluky and you know, they're very good and they're going to be tough to beat. If you get no break and no practice time, and you lose four in a row at home against lesser competition. Again, I want to say that again. Did you hear what Eric Hasseltine said to us about Memphis since the All-Star break? Okay?
Yep.
One win against a team with a winning record.
Say it slower with your deep voice.
And it was the Pistons. One win.
Thank you.
Against a good team. And even that team's like an okay good team, like a kind of good team. Detroit's actually really struggled here in the last 6 weeks or so. Memphis is not good right now. 0-10 since January against the top 9 seeds in the West. 0-10. You can't go out there with what's on the line tonight and make it 1-10. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
You're allowed to use your phrase. It's within the rules.
Yeah, but I don't.
You can't do it.
I don't think it happens, but you have to go out there and play it. And I will offer up a little bit of good news because, you know, I get excited for this. The referee assignments.
Oh, I did see this, but to me, they were mostly just names. Zach Zarba's not doing it.
No, and you do have a veteran crew. Josh Tiven is your crew chief. And Bill Kennedy, 30 years as a ref.
All right, Bill.
On the crew. And then Nick Butchert is also on there. But when you look at the stats,
yeah.
Josh Tiven, when he's the chief, you have the home team winning at a 58% clip.
Okay.
And fouls called on the road team, more than 51%. So in his history this year, his games have leaned toward home team success and road team fouls.
Yes, yes.
And the other crew members are very similar in their numbers.
All the fouls should be on Memphis
tonight.
All
of them.
All of them. Them's the rules. I don't make them.
59%, actually, win percentage for the home team with Josh Tiven, 34 games. He was the chief, and the home team won 59% of the time.
All right, Josh,
so
let's go.
You know,
don't stop letting them grab Steph off the ball.
Right.
Don't do it. It's illegal. It's a foul. Set the tone right away. Do not let them grab Steph Curry when he doesn't have the ball. I don't know why this is so hard. It's your job to be looking at it.
Well, Eric Hasseltine with a great comment about Draymond and the screens he sets.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to set this screen and move, and you're not going to call it. Now I'm going to move more. Now I'm going to move even more. And then finally, He's going to make him call it.
Totally.
And that's what we have in the NFL with holding, right?
And that's what we have with the way people defend Steph. And I have no problem with that approach. What I have a problem with is the officials at times letting that tone get set. It's what happened when the Houston Rockets were here a week and a half ago. You just let him beat the hell out of the guy.
Hey, Dibs, can you read that number to me again? The officials record for home teams?
Josh Tiven, the crew chief, this year home team wins 58.8% of the time.
And generally speaking, across the NBA, the home team wins about 62% of the time.
62.
So that actually means that the official favors the road team.
Who likes roadie?
62%. I wonder.
Who doesn't like roadie? I like a roadie.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's
across the history of the NBA, the home team wins 62% of the time.
So what's the up history with your, this year?
Yeah, what's up with your boy Josh?
The whole NBA.
Why is he hate fans history so much? What's up with your boy Josh?
The history of just this season, you're saying?
No.
The whole league.
History of the NBA.
Forever.
Well, I could try to find this year.
You find this year because I was looking at this before. I don't think that home teams have been as successful this year as they have in days gone by. And if you want to talk about the history of the association, you got some spots where teams are playing four games and four nights all on the road.
Yeah, that's true.
That would lean home heavy. So I appreciate, though. And you also, he jumps in to make sure you can refute the research that I do.
I mean,
that's a good supportive team.
It's an important number.
Accuracy matters. I mean, if you're going to make the point that this guy Josh loves home teams and he actually hates them, I want to know.
Right.
I don't know that that's the case, but I want to know if that's the case.
And it's nice to put some context to it.
Yeah. Come on, Josh. Loosen up. Be popular once in a while. Stop being such a contrarian.
I'll just add one more name, and then you can go to the phones.
Okay.
And you're going to cringe when I throw it out, because Mark Davis is the official.
The guy that owns the Raiders?
No.
Oh.
This is the guy who has a home team winning percentage of 48.2, and he's authored some Warrior games this year that have infuriated fans.
Such as?
Mark Davis. I'd have to remember the exact games, but...
I thought you had that.
Nope. 48.2... for Mark Davis.
Hater.
Exactly.
That's somebody who just, like, you know what I mean? He shows up to, he's like when Bonds was, when people were throwing syringes at him or whatever. Like, just like enjoys being booed.
Yeah, you wish you had Zarba. 66.7% home team percentage.
That's an official right there. That's my man. Where's that guy tonight?
Yeah, he's not repping.
Is he in Orlando?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Hey, let's go to Jordan in the city. Hi, Jordan. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
So, one thing I wanted to point out was, I think that if the Warriors lose this game, I think they could probably... I have no problem with playing the Mavericks or Kings, but the problem I do have is that they're going to play the OKC, but the record isn't against us. I think we beat them... I think we beat them a couple times, so I think we might have a chance. And Steph Curry and Draymond and Jimmy have experience, and Jimmy Butler knows exactly how it feels to come from the playoffs, I mean, to come from the play-in tournament all the way to play against one of the best teams. And I want to play the Rockets, but one thing I don't want is they're probably going to run the same thing that they did last time they played them, and it's probably just gonna lock down Steph Curry. So Steph Curry's gotta learn how to fight through that.
Jordan, this is a wonderful call. How old are you, Jordan?
I'm 10 years old.
You're 10 years old, and were you just like on your way home from school or something?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You keep doing that work. You forget homework and go study box scores, okay? That's how you get ahead in life.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Thank you for calling. This is Jordan breaking down Dubs basketball.
Love it.
That's pretty good.
Very strong. Some strong takes. And positive, too, about the feelings. But he's a little worried about what would lie ahead if they take on Houston again.
Yeah, I don't know that game a week and a half ago has anything to do with what would happen next. You know, I hear a lot of people, and I don't want to do a whole Houston breakdown because I think it's just bad juju, but if they do end up playing Houston, I know where we're going to go for the next 3 days. Oh my God, they're young and they're athletic and they're tall. What do we do about that? Well, I'd argue that most games that the Warriors play, they are less athletic and shorter than who they're playing. That, you know what I mean?
Almost every time.
Right. Yep. They've locked Giannis up 3 weeks ago. Like, locked his butt up. He is tall, and he is athletic. Very, very much so. So, like, it's not like the Warriors aren't used to combating this. They're not going to do it every single night, but they're used to combating this. And they've had success against Houston this year. More often than not.
Depends on how you want to look at it, yeah. Because with Jimmy Butler, they're 0-1. And
1-1.
Oh, because they did beat him the one time.
They did. They beat him in Houston.
And yeah, that was February 13th. Steph had 27 in that one. And then the other game that he played without Jimmy in December, Steph had 19, and they lost. But they were 3-2 against Houston on the year. So, and again, it's a different team now with Jimmy Butler. But if I'm Houston and Ime Udoka, and I do face the Warriors, I'm going to try the exact same blueprint.
Yep, and good luck with that in the playoffs where every eyeball is much wider. I just don't, like, and again.
And I do think that there's a sense of, you know, the collision course that the league would love to have, and that would be Lakers-Warriors.
Of course, so, if you're an NBA conspiracy theorist, Lakers and Warriors in four.
Right.
But yeah, I don't want to get into it yet.
No. It's premature.
It's bad juju, but I'm not worried about the Houston Rockets, if you're going to compare this to any concern that would go into A, either playing Friday night, or B, the OKC Thunder. It's not even close. It's not even close. So I love that Jordan feels like the Warriors can succeed out of Friday night. I don't want to disagree with a 10-year-old, but I disagree with a 10-year-old.
Man.
The Warriors cannot succeed out of Friday night, in my opinion. So you have got to win the basketball game that is going to start in 3 hours. You have to win it.
How old does a caller have to be for you to come down their road? Like, if he was 13, would you have just clapped back at him?
Well, 13 is a terrible age, so I probably would have done that without even waiting for the take.
Okay.
13-year-olds probably should live on Mars for a couple of years before they come back.
Right now, you're safe, though. You don't have a 13-year-old.
Correct.
You've had to go through there,
so you
can speak to it.
I don't know that they've come out the other side yet, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe it's the teen on the back half of the number.
It might be.
But
it's a bad word.
Yeah.
It's a bad word.
And I don't think you'll ever have three teens at the same time, because by the time your oldest is... By the time the little guy is 13,
I will literally miss by I think 3 weeks.
Man, that's a bullet dodge.
The 18-year-old turns 20 3 weeks before the 11-year-old turns 13.
Man, that's classic.
Yeah, yeah. But he's 20 going on 9, so it's not going to help.
And we know he's not listening, so.
Is he?
Shoot your shot, it's all you got.
Game, buddy.
Whatever, yeah.
Anyway. How old does someone have to be? Any age. I come down anybody's road.
Well, you didn't, so.
No.
Ten is clearly too young.
No, but he was great. I come down his road if he said something like, I love the refs. I mean, if he'd said that, and then we're going to have words.
Just remember the Dibber when you watch the game tonight and you feel like that they're getting the whistle, because I think that they're going to get a good whistle tonight.
They better get the whistle. You got to get the whistle. All guests on 95.7 The Game. Up here on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And we do indeed have a wonderful guest who's about to join the show. Right between the eyes, Kevin Harlan, who will do the game on TNT, is about to join us on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Right between the eyes!
I love it.
Okay.
Kev, is that you?
Your River Islands guest line, TNT tonight, Warriors Grizzlies, Kevin Harlan. How are you, Kev?
I'm doing great. Good to be on with you guys. Good to be back in San Francisco. Feels like I've lived here for the last month with the tournament and some Warrior games sprinkled in there, but that's fine with me. My wife was here with me for the tournament a couple of weeks ago. We had a wonderful weekend, so glad to be back and looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a big one, and wonder kind of your thoughts on what you've seen from the Warriors, certainly the Jimmy Butler Warriors, because the effort was to not be in this game. And they played great basketball, but they still end up in this game. So how do you think that kind of affects their psyche tonight?
Well, you know, they're such veterans, and the three main guys are all in their 30s, and they have been down this road multiple times. And while Butler has not won a championship, he's played in the finals. So he knows, you know, what this time of year means. It's very unfortunate that the last five games they go 2-3. But I'd like to think of that maybe as a little wake-up call. And not that they were cruising and enjoying all the benefits of Butler, and there are many, and what he's done, and I think he'll continue to do for this team deep into the month of May. But clearly this is not the way they wanted to finish, and I think it kind of resets themselves a little bit, gets their compass in the right direction if it needed any of that prodding at all. I'm very high on this team, and they could have been a four, but they're now they're number seven, and they win tonight. They're in the playoffs. They take on Houston on Sunday. And I think that they'll be in pretty good shape. Now they're taking on a Memphis team clearly that is motivated and trying to kind of work through their debris with coaching changes and a new voice now for the last nine games. Morant, I just don't know if you ever really know what you're going to get with him from night to night. But when he's on, he'll be very tough. And they are a formidable team coming into the Chase Center tonight for sure.
When you look at the Warriors since they added Jimmy and you watch as much NBA as anybody, what are some of the things that you've seen him do, not only for Steph and Draymond, but for the other guys on this roster as well?
Well, you know, it's been interesting because I think with him on the floor, Steve has gotten a better indication of what kind of rotations and combinations work and don't work. And so we're seeing, you know, Kuminga clearly not seeing that kind of time. Santos seems to be out of the rotation, although I do think they'll both play major roles in the upcoming playoffs in some form or fashion. What that will look like may not be what it has been like, but Butler is a very special player. He has driven up their free throw shooting percentage and trips. He's improved their defense. They're scoring more clearly, and in important situations, in clutch situations, they're 9-4, and that means in the final 5 minutes in a 5-point game before the Butler trade, there were 16-16. And since he's arrived, they're 9-4. So he gives them belief. He gives them confidence. He just puts another brilliant basketball mind on the floor with Green and with Steph that is really filling that void. And listen, we have been down this road before, right? We saw it with Durant. Now, I'm not saying he is Durant, but when they added someone like him, it changed the game, and Butler has clearly changed the game for this team and what they can look forward to. So it's been a win-win so far for him, and I would not get mesmerized by what's happened over the last five games with the 2-3 record. It may be the end of a long season. It may be just exactly what they need, a little kick in the rear to make sure that they get back on track and play the way they were when Jimmy first got here.
Kevin Harlan, TNT, with us here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. We'll be doing the game tonight, the play-in game, Warriors and the Memphis Grizzlies. Kevin, you called what Memphis has been going through recently debris, and I wonder your read, because this team has a total of one win since the All-Star break against a team with a winning record. And so what do you honestly think that they're capable of putting up tonight?
Well, on any night, I mean, you know, it's kind of a one thing, one game, one in and out type of situation. So when they come here and they know what they face and what they've got ahead of them, what they had done. Listen, they fired him when they were, what, 38-20 or something like that, and they just after the All-Star break, they were 38-20. They were number two in the West. Now they're number eight. They're 4-5 under the new coach, the interim new coach. I think they're still trying to figure out, because he's an offensive mind, but their defense has really struggled. And that was the thing about Taylor Jenkins, is he got them really organized on the defensive end. And while it may not have been the most brilliant offense attack, it fit for what they had, and it seemed to be working. I mean, there was, like I said, they were 38-20, and they were number two in the West. And now they find themselves with a 4-5 new head coach, and probably with a lot of uncertainty. And I think this is not the time of year you want to be uncertain. This is the time of year where you want to have everything buttoned down, screws tightened, And I don't sense that with the Grizzlies. I just sense that they're still trying to find what they've got. Now, they've lost two important players. This rookie Wells, who was in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, he had been just terrific. And defensively is where he really stood out. And then Brandon Clark is out. So they've lost two pretty important players. And they're going to have to navigate that. This is not the place, though, to be experimenting and trying things out. And I kind of get that feeling with this team that they're still kind of groping in the dark a little bit, trying to figure out what they are, who they are, where they can go when they need to. But you never know when that light switch is going to come on. That's the problem. You never know when Jackson and Morant are going to go off and be the kind of players that we know they can be. So, and Bane is playing well. They've got a big three, and they're potent. And clearly, this is no pushover game for either team. But clearly, for the Warriors against them, they're not going to exhale at all. They're going to bring their best. But Memphis has got to play their best to advance beyond tonight.
Is there a style that Memphis can play that gives them some sort of an advantage? And I know that styles make fights, and I see the team with so much size, and you know, Triple J's, Jaren Jackson Jr. has been so good. Is there an edge that Memphis has that maybe they can present in this matchup?
Well, if they have success in the lane and everything is kind of aiming toward the lane and play inside, that can be tough. They do have size, as you mentioned, so we put that in the category of things that don't fit what the Warriors probably have best to counter it. And that will be something I'm sure they're going to play on. The other thing is I just think that, you know, you never know when Morant is going to have a Curry kind of game. And I guess we really won't know until we get into the game the extent of the injuries for the big three. You know, the neck issue, upper chest or shoulder area with Draymond with that fall the other day. Clearly, the thumb and the back, the pelvic bruise that Steph is battling through right now with the brace that he has to wear. And then Jimmy, I know that none of these are real major concerns, but throughout the course of a game in a team like Memphis that can be physical, you just don't know where it's going to take you. And I think that's the unknown. And you're playing desperation basketball right now, right? The winner tonight is in the playoffs. The loser's got to wait and figure out what they're going to do in the Dallas-Sacramento game. So there's a lot going on here, and there's no pushover at this stage. These players in this game is a playoff game, and make no mistake about it. And you're going to see, I think, the best that Memphis has to offer. And when they have been their best, they've been dynamite.
Kevin, do you believe in the idea of from play-in tournament to actual contender?
Absolutely. We've seen it with Miami. They went to the finals a couple of years ago with Butler.
The Warriors, you buy this group?
Oh, no, yes. And the reason I say that is because they've got better depth than I think people give them credit for. We know they've changed the rotation, tweaked the rotation a little bit. But listen, this team began the season playing the entire bench. They played the entire roster for the first, month of the season. And while the results weren't great, the experience and the minutes played and the development of some of these kids was significant. And they've got Gary Payton back, and that is, I think, huge in watching Morant tonight. I think any of these teams, you get to this stage, had they not had the 2-3 finish, the Warriors could possibly be the number four team in the West.
Yep.
So that's what we're dealing with. And clearly the best, most competitive and deepest and most vibrant conference in the NBA. I mean, the West has been just treacherous. And for them to survive and play the way they have and incorporate Butler and play the way they have, who's given them the boost they needed, the exact right player this team needed. I would believe anything right about now. In the beginning of the playoffs, I'd believe anything.
Kevin, welcome to town. Have a great call. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, you too. Kevin Harlan, TNT, on the call tonight. I tried.
Yeah.
I think he missed it.
I think he got it, but
or maybe he
you
just
did
didn't
it straight
care.
Off the top. And, you know, if we had
I
want
to get it out of the way. I want to talk to Kevin about the game.
I do, too. And I had forgotten that you were going to do that, and I love your impersonation of it. And when we have more time, he clearly was in the car going to the arena, and, you know, his wife's there. And I think if you have more time, you can set it up and do it, and he'll be like, that's awesome. Or he'll say, do I sound like that? And the answer, Kevin, is yes, you do. Yes, you do. But my takeaway from that is the word debris. And
yeah, he called Memphis, like their experience the last handful of weeks, debris.
Right, and Eric Hasseltine, who's a lot closer to the team, portrayed it in a slightly different way, saying that, you know, they wanted to make a change and they did it for certain reasons. But yeah, you can look at how they've been since they made the coaching change, and what are they, 4-6, I think, since the change?
I mean, whether it's even, let's see, well, I don't. What date was the change? I don't remember exactly what date the change was.
I've got them at 4-5 since he's taken over.
Okay.
4-5.
Okay. So
I think it was March 28th.
March 28th, yeah. So then they lost 3 in a row right away, then they won 3 in a row, and then they lost 2 in a row, and then they won what Eric called a glorified G League game, because nobody who mattered played when Dallas was there on Sunday. So, there was the win in Detroit on April 5th, 109-103. And that's the one. That's the one win that they have against a team with a winning record since the All-Star break. I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to remember if Cade Cunningham played in that game. He did. Jalen Duren didn't. For the Pistons. So anyway, I don't know, man. Like, I never like to make it all about one night. I think that's tough because these are all professionals, man, and anybody can get hot. You know, it's kind of like what Kyrie did right after the Jimmy Butler trade, when everyone was like, oh, they're going to go into Dallas and crush that team. And Kyrie went off and the Mavericks won a game. Like, the Grizzlies capable of something like that? They sure are. But guess what? I mean, just go through their last 2 months. They've not had an impressive night. Not once. You know, Hasseltine talked about the game that they played against Boston not that long ago. And I remember that game because, and you all do, it was the night before the Warriors were there. Remember we talked about the Warriors being there watching the Grizzlies play Boston. And Boston ended up winning that game by 14 points. And that was the game Eric pointed to as maybe their best performance of the last couple months. And they lost by double digits.
Defending champs. And we all were watching that. And the other one that he pointed out was the game against Minnesota. And you and I were highlighting that as a game like, ooh, this is a must watch. And this is just last week. And he even mentioned it. They gave up a 50-point quarter, which I believe was the third quarter. And Memphis was playing great in the first half. And you and I ended our show and we ended up catching the game a little bit later, and Minnesota just absolutely exploded on Memphis and buried him in that ball game. And that's something that I do think is one to watch tonight, is Memphis goes through lapses, where they just
defensively,
they don't
totally
defend. And Eric was mentioning how they lead the league in open threes allowed. 3 o'clock threes, he called them, because no one else is in the gym, and I like that. I may have to steal it, but that's what happened in that game, and that's what happened when Steph Curry went off against them last time.
They had back-to-back games on January 30th and February 2nd where they defeated Houston at home, and then they won in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee was full strength. That was February 2nd. Since then, let me read off the teams to you that Memphis has beaten, okay? Here's a list of the teams that Memphis has beaten since that win in Milwaukee on February 2nd, more than 2 months ago.
Okay.
This is who they've beaten. The Spurs, the Raptors, the Suns, the Magic, the Suns again, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, the Suns again, the Utah Jazz, the Miami Heat, the Utah Jazz, the Miami Heat, the Detroit Pistons, the Charlotte Hornets, and members of the Dallas Mavericks family on Sunday. That's the list. 2.5 months of basketball, that's the list of who they've beaten. So I'll say now for a seventh different way, you can't lose tonight. They don't have any wins against a team of your caliber.
Right.
None.
Right.
None in 2.5 months.
They do have a guy who can go absolutely incendiary and get incredibly hot. And I'm looking at all the games that Ja Morant has played since that date. A total of 22 games. He missed some. He was inactive for some. He was hurt. And he's averaging 27 a night. And his team's 11-11 over those games when he plays. But Ja is one of those guys, as Kevin was describing, you can have a game where a player just goes bananas, and you can still overcome that and win. the Warriors are not undefeated when Steph scores 50 points. We've been over that, but that's the one thing about tonight that kind of scares me, is a night where they just go crazy offensively.
Yeah, it could happen, but you should be able to go crazy offensively right back at
you
them.
You should, yeah.
You should.
Yeah, they're like, not a very good defensive
team.
They're
not a good defensive team.
Well, especially when you lose your number one defender, the rookie who was going to be the number one attempted Steph stopper.
Do you know how many teams in the Western Conference have given up more points per game than the Memphis Grizzlies?
On the season?
Yep.
Probably two.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The Jazz and the Pelicans.
Yeah, and they're bad.
That's it.
They're bad.
That's the list of teams that have given up more points than the Memphis Grizzlies. Listen, do you remember when the 49ers played the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football two seasons ago? And it was billed at this, you know, is this big, big matchup. And that whole year, that was the year, in fact, that the Dallas Cowboys went to the playoffs as big, bad division winners. And then Jordan Love's Packers walked in there and went, dog, you guys suck, and just went up and down the field on them. And then we looked back on the Dallas Cowboys season, and we went, oh, my God, did you notice something about the Dallas Cowboys? Because they have this good record. They won their division. They're the NFC East champions. Do you know what you noticed? They never beat a good team. All year long, they never did. And I really want to give this label to the Memphis Grizzlies. It doesn't mean that you're not a good team. You're 48-32. And wins against bad teams, that is, as I've said many times, the definition of a good team. But to be a great team, to really be a threat, you have to do well against other really good teams. And the Grizzlies do not do that. They just haven't. They haven't for 3 months. Maybe they did a few months ago. I don't really find that relevant at this point. Similar to talking Warrior basketball in December. Irrelevant. Jimmy Butler wasn't on the team.
That was one of those games where they beat the Warriors 144-93.
Yeah, they blew them off the floor. Right. I remember that night.
That was a Dennis Schroeder. There was a Wiggins in there. So I think that you're right about comparing April to December when you make such a profound trade.
You are who you are right now. And while I will not have any fingernails left by 7 o'clock, at the same time, this is reason number, like all the sort of logistical stuff that we've talked about. Oh, you need rest and you don't want to play OKC. That's all true. But there's also just like a pride thing to this. Memphis has not, for 2.5 months, they have not been able to rally what is needed to win a game like this. You're going to suddenly let them do it tonight with everything on the line? I can't see it. I can't see it, and I hope I don't see it. Because if I see it, I'm telling you, the alarms are, all of them go off.
Right.
All of them go off, and the balloon pops.
Well, the balloon deflates. It doesn't fully pop, but I get your point, and you've been saying it all day, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're wrong, but it's like when you get one of those helium balloons, and it no longer floats to the ceiling. It doesn't even float above the ground. It still has air in it,
right?
But that's a sad balloon, and it's even hard to like stick a pin in it to pop it because it's so saggy.
It's soft. It's kind of creepy, actually, when the balloon is just levitating, sitting there in the middle of the room. You know what that would be, by the way?
It would be a balloon that needs to go in the garbage.
Oh, you didn't want to pay it?
It's a levitation sensation. I'll pay it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
No problem. The thing about Memphis is just fascinating. They've scored 125 points 33 times this year. They've lost 6 of those games. When they've scored 125, they've found a way to lose 6 times. The Warriors have lost 1 of those games, and that was the Kyrie went bananas game. So when you score a .125, Mark, in the association, you're not supposed to lose. And Memphis does it pretty often.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like it's a matchup that if you're buttoned up and you bring your A game and nothing weird happens, you should win. Yes, it could be scary. I'm not like, I mean, they might be down 5 in the third quarter. But I don't know, man. I'm looking at this from a bunch of angles, and maybe part of it is just like, you know, the fandom coming out. But when you've got Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green with their experience in these moments, and it's what Kevin Harlan just talked about, and you bring in a Grizzlies team that's kind of the opposite. They're trying to find themselves. You're changing a coach. They've got some playoff experience. Obviously, their big three of Jackson and Ja and Desmond Bane, they're very, very talented. They're not buttoned up. They're not buttoned up in the same way. It's on your home floor. The payment is very steep if you lose the game. I just cannot wrap my head around the Warriors not having what's necessary tonight.
Yeah,
and if they don't, they're not what we thought they were.
Yeah, and I look at the San Antonio game as an example where they didn't have what they needed to have, and that was an unfortunate one, and that's one that kind of launched you into the play-in. Sunday night against the Clippers, I would give the Warriors a solid B-plus for how they played, and the Clippers get an A-minus. The Clippers were just a little bit better, especially down the stretch, and you lost a very good game in the association. But tonight, if you have your B-plus game like you did Sunday against the Clippers, you win this game by 10 points. And by B-plus, I mean you shoot it pretty well, you don't turn it over a ton, and you play some usual sturdy defense. You know, Memphis averages 122 a game. If you can hold them to 110, you win this game.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Warriors should. Well, I don't know what the pace is going to be like because it'll be played like a playoff game, but the Warriors should score 120 points tonight if they really want to. Memphis is not, that's who their defense has been against good teams.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 5-1-0. The Warriors are 2-4 against West playoff teams since the Butler trade. Well, that can't be true. That can't be true because they beat Houston, Denver, and the Lakers since the Butler trade. Next one, 408. Kerr will find a way to lose this game. Willard, grow a pair and and call him out tomorrow. Yeah. So what, 408, what do we do if the Warriors win tonight? Then what will you do? Do we get to call you out tomorrow? I don't know, man. I really hope there's some way out of this Steve Kerr thing. This, and there probably isn't, but this box that has been created, where I really think that he's been labeled as something evil because he's, you know, trying to keep Jonathan Kuminga down, as opposed to a really good coach who is looking at data and is watching his team and is watching them perform at its highest level and winning a lot of basketball games since the Jimmy Butler trade and seeing that there is a fit problem with some of his top players and Jonathan Kuminga. So he's a guy who's trying to go win a basketball game tonight. And somehow that's getting branded in a different place by a lot of fans.
I get it. I don't agree with it. Yeah. But for me, my default is you look at a guy's track record, and in 11 years, he's won 4 championships for a franchise that couldn't make the playoffs a lot before he got here.
Yeah, I see that too.
So I'm gonna go ahead and give him. I'm gonna go ahead and give him the benefit on this one.
I noticed that too. I saw that. The championship.
Yeah, and the parade that you and I broadcasted.
And then the other three that we didn't broadcast that together.
I was on a float.
You were at the...
Yeah. I'm on a float! That's for you.
Take a good, hard look...
I'm on a float.
...at the mother bleeping float. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. And you know what we're really here for? All right, come on, let's go! 1 hour to go. 888-957-9570. Where you at, Warrior fans? Are you feeling good, bad, somewhere in between? It is nothing but you and your comments on Warrior basketball, what you want to see tonight, what you think you're going to see tonight. We have the biggest game in the history of mankind and creation coming up on 95.7 The Game. So let's hear from you. Let's take your calls. 888-957-9570. We will take your calls right now and all the way up to 6 o'clock on Willard and Dibs.
I'm tired of getting pushed around. You got to go out there and be tough.
Now back to Willard and Dude. Take it away, Mark.
Oh, just another Steph turnover, huh? Oh, God, I'm kidding!
Wow, 1 of 8 the other night.
Yeah, that was number 9. Now, Steph can mess up my name all he wants. Who cares? 888-957-9570. At the risk of doing what I know we're not supposed to do, which is letting the voices get heard, I'm not going to point to any particular listener, YouTube, text line, whatever. And I know you know, Dibs, what this group is doing. I know that y'all know exactly. It's no different than, I wonder if y'all know this, the crowd that wants Kerr, like, either fired or called out. You're the person that used to, in elementary school, pull the girl's hair that you had a crush on. It's like this way of trying to get attention based on going over the top with your kind of odd negativity. The reason Steve Kerr doesn't get called out on this show is because we don't happen to think that he sucks at coaching. That's why. It's no other reason. And I don't know if you know this, but all the data's in our favor. And I hope, don't take it wrong, I'm not sitting here saying that anyone can't be criticized. I thought Moses Moody should have been in the game more in the fourth quarter the other night. You want to have a take like that? You can have a take like that. But the oddity of a coach that's taken a team from 25 and 26, a trade comes in, they go on a heater, they go 23 and 8. This is all based on the backdrop of already having four championship rings as the head coach. Two of the other Western Conference combatants have dumped their coach just in the last 3 weeks. The oddity of thinking that the discussion this week in any way, shape, or form is about Steve Kerr's job status or abilities as a head coach, and that anyone who doesn't want to make it about that is scared and thinks they're going to lose their jobs.
That's us.
I just... That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. So there, I gave you the attention you badly crave. And now can we go back to talking about a huge basketball game tonight?
We can. And I just...
That's all.
You know, the things that I look at, and we do, quote, call Kerr out when we think that he makes mistakes. It doesn't mean that we immediately grab our pitchfork and our torch and march on Chase Center and demand his firing. I look at a coach who has a 648 winning percentage in the regular year and 707 in the playoffs with four championships. And so will we be critical? Of course. Have we called him out to his face in interviews about Moses Moody playing time and other decisions? Absolutely. It doesn't mean that after a game that I thought that, you know, they just got beat. I don't think that there are any coaching points that prevented them from winning. Whether or not you liked the Buddy Hield three-pointer to tie it, I didn't. But upon further review, you didn't have many options. Down three with 6 seconds to go. Even if you didn't like that play call, what else are you going to do in a spot where you need a three and your best three-point shooter is being double-teamed with a third guy lurking?
Now I'm getting into semantics a little bit. The job of an interviewer is never to call someone out. That's not the job of an interviewer.
Your job is to hold his feet to the fire.
We can ask a challenging question. We can propose something that we think might bring about an interesting response. Our job is to ask the questions that we think that you want asked to lead to the answers that you want answered. I asked him about Jonathan Kuminga's role a week ago, and it led down this entire road that started a week ago. And that's not me tooting my own horn. It wasn't difficult.
Beep, beep.
No, it wasn't. We all know there's a Jonathan Kuminga thing. There's been a thing. It's been a thing for a year and a half, 2 years. So that was the right time to put that topic out. But the job of an interviewer is not to call someone out. We don't have somebody call us on their off time so we can be like, I'd just like to let you know that I think you were stupid with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter the other night.
Steve,
I'd like to call you,
you
out.
You think you should be fired, Steve? Because I'm getting a sense that you're not aware of how fired you should be.
There are so many, and look,
dude, you're so fired.
We're here for it. It's sports radio. We want every opinion. We want every perspective. But there are, I don't know, man. In Warrior basketball this year, there are some moronic sideshows going on. There are moronic sideshows going on right now.
Well, that is fan base, I think, in any sport.
I don't agree. I actually don't. Like, I know what you mean, but, like, there are not that. Even those who, like, oh, Kyle Shanahan's a choke artist. All right. Like, all right, I don't.
Debo's lost a step.
I don't think that's. See, like, when you have a player who is very physical and then has a bad year and then starts saying, I need the ball more, and drops it, like, that's actually. I don't think that's a moronic sideshow. But it is a moronic sideshow to have conversations about Steve Kerr's job status. It's a moronic sideshow to think that he doesn't like young people.
It's a moronic sideshow
to
advocate the trading of Stephen Curry, I think.
Yes.
I mean, even at the time when they were flatlining before Jimmy Butler came, for me, that was a moronic sideshow. And we can get into those as time goes on, but I'm more interested in what happens in 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Damn right.
You are at home, you're favored, you're more experienced, you're better. Does that mean that you're going to win for sure? Absolutely not.
No. ESPN did. Actually, you know what? Jude scared me the other day. Last night, we're sitting at dinner. And
this is your 11-year-old.
Yeah, the 11-year-old. So the kids always do this, you know, like they have their own kind of perspective. And they're like, all right, so what's going on? What's the situation? And I'm like, well, you got to win tomorrow night. You got to win tomorrow night. And I was like, what's the situation? What happens? Who do they play if they win? All that stuff. And we go through the whole thing. And Jude, 11 years old, he's like, they're totally going to win. He's like, I went on ESPN.com, and their win percentage is 62%. So they're definitely going to win.
Ah, I see. The old win percentage.
I was like, why the hell is it only 62%? That doesn't feel big enough. It should be bigger than that.
Right?
Why is it so small?
I mean, 62 is... It's not.
That's not enough.
It's not Ottoman, that's for sure.
It's not enough.
Well, those percentages are kind of hilarious because if you go back to the game against the Clippers and Steph hits the shimmy three, at that moment they had an 84% chance to win the game.
I know. I just went to check his math. It's down to 61.1.
Man.
The Warriors, the matchup predictor has the Warriors at 61.1%. Dibs, it's too small.
It is, but based on the numbers that I ran about home teams and their winning percentage this year in the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah, you were waiting for this.
Home teams won in the West this year 58.2%.
Okay, why'd you only do West?
I did the whole thing, but I'm bringing it up now. It's way different in the East, but I'm just pointing this out now in the West because you mentioned 61.1, and the record for the year for West teams at home was 58.2.
All right.
In the East, it was 0.502. It was a coin flip between home and road.
That's weird.
And this is a long way to go to explain what I was saying about tonight's official, Josh Tiven, the crew chief. Home teams win 58.8% of the time, and Grandy was questioning me as to what that really meant. And, well, for the league this year, home teams were 54.7.
Okay.
But so in tonight's the West, ref,
sounds like it's commensurate with the West.
Though. It is, but these numbers, like Josh Tiven's number, for example, encompasses all NBA games.
Sure, sure,
he
sure.
didn't just do the West. So the extrapolation is that he is 4 percentage points more likely to favor the home team than home teams with every other ref, including him.
Okay. Then we
so
win.
There you go.
All right.
It's over.
Good.
Cuckoosh.
I'm super,
lock it up.
I'm super relaxed now.
Cool.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.